This morning's scripture reading will be from Philemon, the whole entire book of Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who has become my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not be forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this letter that we have read. We thank you that you are the God who brings unity to your people. We thank you that as we see and as we experience your love, we can turn around and display that love, reflect that love to your people. We thank you that as we dwell on how much we have been forgiven, we can turn around and forgive others. Oh Lord, please help us as we go through this chapter today. Help us to see something of your glory, even as we look at this personal letter. And may we give praise and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have read someone else's mail? Now, I don't need a show of hands on that, but I imagine that most of us have probably taken a glance at a letter someone's left
sitting on the counter. Most people have probably gotten a peek at an email someone has left up on a computer screen. I remember once buying an antique book, probably from the 1920s, and as I flipped through it near the back, I found this folded up piece of stationery. And it was so exciting. It was a letter from someone else, from a long time ago. This is history. So I opened this letter up and was immediately disappointed. It was a letter, it was personal, but it's not to me. And I don't know any of the people involved. Half of it was taken up with a grocery list or something. It's just not that interesting. Isn't it often the case that reading other people's personal letters ends up not really being that interesting? For all the fun of getting to sort of visually eavesdrop, in the end, it's just not that interesting to read about people you might not know all that well. Well, that brings us to this book of Philemon. And the connection is, this book is a personal letter from the Apostle Paul. It's true that all of Paul's writings in the New Testament are letters, but this one is particularly personal. It's short. It's almost like a note. He probably could have jotted it down on one single page. It's to a personal friend, and it deals with a very specific personal situation. Paul is asking Philemon to accept and forgive this runaway slave who may have wronged him. Well, if this letter is so personal and so specific to this situation, why is it here in the Bible? Why are we still reading it? Why is it still interesting? I think this personal letter is a precious piece of God's word because it gives a window into the Christian's love and the duty that flows out of that love. This is really a delightful little book. In stark contrast to the chapter we considered last week, the book of Philemon has no villains. There's no dark side to this letter. Instead, we see the delight that Paul takes in Philemon. And the way he calls Philemon to delight in showing Christian love. Well, the book divides really easily, I think, into two main sections. The first part, if you're following along, extends from verse 1 to verse 7. That's really the introduction. It deals with Paul's delight in Philemon, and that's the section we're really going to focus on this morning. The second part covers the rest of the book, verses 8 to 25. And those verses deal with the real motivating question of the letter, with Paul's call for Philemon to forgive this runaway slave named Onesimus. The situation with Onesimus is really the reason for the late letter. We'll deal with the latter section of the book next week, Lord willing, but it's good to keep that backstory in mind. Philemon, it seems, was a wealthy Christian, probably an elder or a pastor, clearly a supporter of the church. The church in his hometown met in his house. And he was also the one who owned this slave, Onesimus. The slave became discontent, we don't know why exactly, and ran away, possibly stealing some of his master's wealth. Onesimus somehow comes into contact with Paul, probably in Rome. It could be that Onesimus knew Paul and went to Rome to find him. Or it could be that Onesimus just headed for the big city to lose himself in the crowds of the capital and somehow providentially ran into the apostle. In any case, Paul meets Onesimus and converts him. And Onesimus becomes a helper of Paul in his ministry, a true son in the faith. Still, Paul feels compelled to send Onesimus back to Philemon. In the letter, Paul calls Philemon to forgive Onesimus and treat him not like a slave, but rather as a brother in Christ. Now, that story is the motive for the letter. And the whole book includes important implications for how Christians should view slavery. It includes important implications for how believers should view forgiveness and fellowship. But where I'd like us to begin this morning is with delight. Because while that story hangs in the background, the first seven verses of Philemon are taken up with Paul's delight in his brother. These verses are a beautiful picture of Christian love. As we look at them, I'd like us to really ask just two questions. Why does Paul delight in Philemon? And what does this mean for us? Let's read those first seven verses of the letter again. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Well, why does Paul delight in Philemon? He delights in him first because he's a fellow worker with Paul. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Paul recognizes that Philemon is on the same page with Paul in his work. They're cooperating to the same end. I think that might be the reason why Paul introduces himself the way he does. Paul, he begins, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. This isn't the way Paul usually introduces himself in his letters. Sometimes he does refer to himself as a prisoner, but usually he introduces himself in his letters as an apostle. In Colossians 1, a letter probably written and delivered at the same time as Philemon, he writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Even in his more personal letters to Timothy, Paul emphasizes his role as an apostle. He writes with authority, even in that personal context, because he's laying down God's rule for Timothy's church. But in this letter, he emphasizes his suffering for the gospel. He emphasizes that he is at work for Christ as a prisoner, just like Philemon is at work in Colossae. Picture we're given in this introduction is really of a family working together for God. Paul mentions Apphia. He mentions Archippus, our fellow soldier. Most people think that Apphia was probably Philemon's wife. Archippus was probably their son, a man who served as a pastor as well. In verse 2, they seem to all be living in the same home, serving God together and serving the church. And Paul is delighted that they are co-workers in the gospel. Sometimes co-workers are the hardest people to get along with. They're the people you see every day. You get to know their bad habits even better than you know your own. It's clear from some references that Paul had some bad co-workers as well. He had co-workers like Demas, whom he mentions at the end of this letter, who would eventually betray him. He had former co-workers who preached against him, trying to stir up trouble for Paul. He mentions that in Philippians 1. And there are other people who were just ashamed of Paul. He could write in 2 Timothy 4:16, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them." Paul knew what it was to struggle with unfaithful, unloving co-workers. But that's not the situation here. Paul is delighted to be in the ministry with Philemon. When people are working together for some grand design, for some momentous purpose, that can be a great delight. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a radio news report about a gigantic ship being built in Russia. It isn't a military ship. It's a giant icebreaker. It's the biggest one ever built. It's nuclear powered. It's the size of 2 football fields, end to end. The ship is designed to break through 13 feet of ice. This is cutting edge technology. And what was particularly striking in the news report was the pride of the Russian shipwrights who had worked on this and their camaraderie. The boat was launching, and it was a gigantic party and celebration, congratulations and embraces all around. One of the workers said, "I can tell my children I worked on that ship." What drew all those workers together? Most of them were probably doing thankless, menial jobs. But what drew them together was that they were producing something they saw as awesome. They saw as glorious. I think we can understand their excitement at getting to work on some great project. But if they could get excited about building a ship, how much more can Paul be excited about working with Philemon and Apphia and Archippus to build up the kingdom of God? It's a glorious thing to be prisoners laborers, fellow soldiers together in the service of our God. And that is a service that all believers are called to. Paul delights that Philemon is his fellow worker. He also delights in Philemon's faith. It's wonderful to know that they're working toward the same end, but perhaps even more wonderfully, their work, their service stems from the same root, from faith in the Lord Jesus. We see that in verse 4, where Paul thanks God because he has heard of Philemon's faith. They're trusting the same thing. They are delighted by the same Savior. Don't we have all kinds of lesser examples in our lives of people being drawn together by some kind of shared delight? We could think of sports fans. Sometimes you get a group of people together and the conversation is just stuttering along. There's no real flow to anything. And then a couple of the people figure out that they're fans of the same sports team. Suddenly they have something in common. They have food for broad, if not deep, conversation. When I was in high school, I chose to be a fan of the Dallas Mavericks basketball team. I have no connection to Dallas, but I decided they would be my team. And when I went to college in Maryland, I met for the first time another Mavericks fan. And you know, it really created this bond. No one else cared. We had fairly little in common except for one shared interest. And we would look forward to those conversations. We knew the players, we knew their stats. We'd get together to watch a few games every year. We were connected by that shared delight. And it doesn't just take sports to create that kind of fellowship. People connect over favorite authors, over favorite music. We're drawn to people who are in the same line of work. We have a shared vocabulary, a shared set of experiences or complaints. Well, if people can be drawn together by all of these temporary, insignificant things, how much more can Paul and Philemon be drawn together by their shared faith in the same Lord? They each have a personal delight in Jesus. They've totally committed their lives to him. They agree about the most important truths. Paul and Philemon agree that they are sinners who have broken God's law. They agree that they deserve God's judgment, and yet God has sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sin. Paul and Philemon agree that we can be saved from the penalty we deserve by trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. And they believe that those who have been saved by God's mercy through the blood of Jesus are called to live a life of love. Love for God and love for God's people. Paul is delighted that he and Philemon share a common faith. Have you ever felt that delight at meeting someone else who trusts in Jesus? Maybe you meet someone, you don't know where the conversation is going, and then it turns to Jesus and you realize that this person is a brother or sister in Christ.
you felt that delight, then I think you feel something of what Paul is expressing here.
Paul delights that Philemon is his fellow worker. He delights that they share in the same faith. Paul also delights that Philemon loves the people of God. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. He reiterates that thought in verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Paul doesn't just rejoice that Philemon has refreshed his own heart. Paul's excited that he's refreshing others. Isn't that a glorious phrase? You've refreshed the hearts of the saints. Philemon is a cool drink in the shade on a humid 95-degree day. When Philemon gets close, he re-energizes people. We all know there are people in our lives who do just the opposite, right? One pastor said there are people who just suck the air right out of your balloon when you get close to them. But that's not Philemon. No, believers are pumped up. They'd be encouraged whenever he is around. How does Philemon do that? How did he refresh the saints? Well, we're not really sure. Paul doesn't say. Maybe it was through acts of generosity or service. Maybe he wrote nice notes. But whatever he did specifically, it must have entailed pointing believers to Christ. It must have entailed helping others find strength in the Lord. It's beautiful to see someone pouring himself out in others' lives. And it's beautiful to see the thriving communities of believers that revolve around those kinds of people. Paul is so delighted in Philemon by his role as a fellow worker, by his shared faith, by his love for the saints, that he really seems to just overflow in prayer for him. It's almost like he can't think about him for this long without interceding for him. You see that prayer in verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Now that is a really neat verse. And it's actually one of the reasons that I initially wanted to preach on this section. In the NIV, the translation we've been using, Paul seems to be praying that Philemon will excel in evangelism, that he'll grow in his faith by telling it to others. That's a beautiful and a biblical idea. But as I've studied this section more, it seems as if that's probably not the best translation of the verse. Most other translations recognize that the word sharing there in verse 7 is probably not about evangelism, but instead about fellowship. So sharing the faith is referring to what Philemon is doing by loving the saints and refreshing them. The ESV translates this verse, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I believe Paul is saying here, I pray that your generosity and your fellowship with believers will just open you up for the full knowledge of the blessings of Christ. I think it's fellowship with the people of God that will help us see how high and wide and deep is the love of Christ. This passage and this prayer show us that Christian fellowship, Christian love, is not some little thing we can take or leave. No, God uses Christian love to help reveal to us the good things of Christ. It's a glorious prayer that Paul has for Philemon. And I think it caps off this section that reveals Paul's delight in his brother. Well, what does all this mean for us? What should we take away from Paul's description of Philemon? I'd like us to take away three questions. They're questions we'll ponder a little bit here, but I hope you'll give them some careful thought as you go through this week. First, do you delight in other believers like Paul does? I hope you recognize that Paul's friendship with Philemon has really nothing to do with a shared culture or class or ethnic background or economic status. Paul and Philemon might well have had virtually nothing in common apart from Christ. Think about it. Philemon is this wealthy Gentile, while Paul is an imprisoned, itinerant, former Pharisee. And Onesimus, who's going to show up later, is the lowest of the low, a runaway slave. These characters have virtually nothing in common, except for their love of Christ. And that is enough. Because they have that union, they delight in each other. Is that a delight that characterizes your interactions with Christians? This kind of delight in other believers has its root in faith. That's really shown here in Philemon, where the love of the saints flows out of faith in Christ. Elsewhere, Paul describes love as a fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't just show up because we force it out. It shows up because we are filled by the Spirit and they are filled by the Spirit, and there's a real bond. It's a real enough bond that the Apostle John can use the love for believers as a test for our faith. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Or 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. As we think about this example of Paul and Philemon and these sobering passages from 1 John, our goal should not be just to drum up more affection. No, we should evaluate our own hearts to see if a love for the people of God is there. And if it's there, we should thank God for it. It's His grace that helps us love a bunch of unlovely people like us. We should pray for Him to give us more
of that grace. Help us love like Paul and Philemon loved. Help us love like Christ loved us. If you look into your heart and you don't see any real love for the people of God, then turn again to Christ. Recognize your need for his grace. See again the depth from which he's saved you. And heed his call to love God's people. Well, the first question was, do you delight in believers like Paul does? Or like Christ does? Second question, do you express your delight like Paul does? I don't mean there, do we express it by writing inspired scripture? Clearly, none of us do that. But isn't it possible for us to really love someone and never tell them? Never express that appreciation at all? Paul expresses his appreciation here. He expresses it in prayer. He's continually thanking God for others. He expresses that appreciation personally as well. Imagine Philemon reading the beginning of this letter. His heart just pounding as he sees it's from his former mentor. And then tears coming to his eyes as he reads Paul's words. Not all of us are great at giving compliments. Not all of us can write a lovely letter. But I think this letter of Philemon should encourage us to express our love, our delight in those who have been bought by Christ's blood. And finally, final question. Do you work to refresh the saints? Philemon is commended especially for his working for the people of God. But we're all called to be fellow workers in the spread of the church, in the growth of the kingdom of God. We all have opportunities to refresh the saints. Notes, meals, hugs, conversations, prayers, all these things and others. Maybe working to help each other find strength in the Lord. May that be our desire, to refresh the saints. In all of these things, our love is but an echo of the Savior's love for us. The Apostle John again says, we love because he first loved us. We serve a God who is characterized by love. God is love. We serve a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us while we were still his enemies. We serve a God who delights over his people with singing. May we be people who delight in God and delight in what he delights in. Those who love Jesus will love those who love Jesus. In one sense, I think that might be a good summary for the first seven verses of Philemon. In the second section of the book, Paul will call Philemon to respond, to work out the love he has to God's people toward someone who needs his forgiveness. But here, the emphasis is on delight. May we all rejoice to be part of a people who are called to this kind of love. And may we rejoice in the God of love who calls us to imitate him. Let's pray. Lord God, as we approach your table, we approach a glorious symbol of your love for your people. Lord, it's a love that held nothing back. You, O Father, gave your most precious possession, your precious Son, to be broken for us. We thank you for that love. And we pray, Lord, that we would respond to that love by turning in repentance and faith and love to you. And then may we respond by returning in love to those around us. We praise you. Be with us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.